Blog Talk Radio.
Despite how many faults, Father, despite how many times, Father, we have sinned against you and have gone against your will, Father, that you have shown us mercy, Father, to allow us to open our eyes another day, Father. We thank you first and foremost for that, Father. Then we thank you, Father, for your Torah. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Yahushua, Father. And we thank you for life, health, and strength, Father. We thank you for the Shabbat day, Father. We thank you, Father, for calling us out, Father, and opening our eyes, Father, and allowing us to behold little and great wonders within your Torah, O Yahweh, Father. We ask, Father, that you be here this day, Father, that your spirit of shalom, that your spirit of akkad, and your spirit of ahar be in this room this day, Father, among your children here at Beth Yahweh congregation, Father, and among all Israel, Father. We ask, Father, that you lead us, you guide us, Father, and if somehow, Father, we veer off to the left or to the right, Father, that you show us the mercy, Father, your unwavering mercy, Father, your unending mercy, Father, and bring us back to your way, Father. We ask you these things in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, Father. We pray for those who are ailing, Father, whether physically, Father, mentally, Father, emotionally, Father, even socially, Father. We ask that you look upon them, Father, and uphold them and uplift them, Father, and always keep their eyes looking towards you. These things we ask in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, Father. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered in truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, all may be seated. I gotta tell you, you know, sometimes you don't realize that the little responsibilities, the little things that we do that have a big impact. You know, watching little David over there, and you know, I remember back in the day we had a group of young men who used to call themselves the Hallelujah Men. You know, because they watched the older men and what they did, and you know, felt that it was worthy to emulate. You know. So, you know, you realize it's not the big things sometimes, not always the big things, but it's the little things, you know, that have that impact. Good to see the little brother here. So, welcome to another and final episode of Study the Show by Self Approved unto Yahweh. It's been a wonderful weeks of me teaching, a couple weeks of Rabbi filling in for me because of unforeseen circumstances that have taken place. So I've been grateful for that. Relationships. And we've been talking about relationships these last few weeks. And with this final one, I'm hoping that I have a topic that I'm hoping we can also have some, you know, a little bit of open discussion. You know, we talked about the relationship between, you know, husbands, wives, Adam, Eve, you know, that serpent in the garden and how it impacted their relationship with the Creator. We also talked about the relationship, you know, with the first two brothers. Shalom Aleichem, Aki, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, Aki. You know, we talked about the relationship between the two brothers and, you know, what they did. And then we talked a little bit about the relationship between another set of brothers, you know, not just Cain and Abel, but also between Israel and, Jacob and, you know, Esau. We also talked about having a relationship with your salvation, you know, and, you know, one of the interesting things to note, you know, from last week, with the whole thing between, you know, Joseph, you know, his father and his brothers is, you know, at one point they hated Joseph, you know, hated Joseph to the point where they actually wanted to kill him. But thankfully, you know, a brother, you know, was willing enough to stand up for him and, you know, and say, no, we ain't going to kill him, you know, because it's not the right thing to do. And, you know, to make a long story short, ended up coming to find out that all along, you know, that he was in that situation because of the will of Yahweh, you know, to, you know, save the nation. You know, but one of the things that, you know, I found to be very interesting is the fact that, you know, you have his brothers who hated him. You know, he hated him, you know, and really for no other reason than the fact that he was special, because Joseph was special, you know, and sometimes it's hard for people to accept the fact that there are particular people who have a special gift from the Creator. Not an easy thing to stomach, you know, and that was the root of their jealousy when you think about it. One of the things, I mean, we can't forget, or we cannot, Rabbi and I were just talking about, you know, psychology in the mind. We were talking about that last night. You know, we have to understand the psychology of these people, of these ancestors that we read about, these different people that we read about. We have to understand the psychology of our adversary because he has a psychology. You know, we know he's what would be considered a sociopath, a psychopath, you know. But there's a book that was out that I remember Brother David talking about. It was called The Genius of a Psychopath. Because somebody is quote unquote crazy doesn't mean they're insane, or vice versa. You know, you in all actuality, you have geniuses out there who, when you think about what it takes in order to do certain acts and continue in these acts, one of my favorite TV shows of recent was Mindhunter, you know, and one of the main characters, and the only thing about Mindhunter is about, you know, the beginning of forensic psychology, where they get the whole psychological profiling of, you know, these serial killers and, you know, what makes them tick, you know, what helped formulate these thoughts in their mind to lead them to do what they did. And one guy was so calculating that if he did not give himself in, they would have never caught him. They would have never caught him. And when you think about the meticulous thought process that it takes to do some of the acts, if you've ever studied any of them, Ed Gein, John Wayne Gacy, you know, Charles Manson, you know, these aren't people who, you know, just your average Joes off the street. I mean, you know, something we were just talking about, you know, Dave Chappelle's thing, and the what it takes to manipulate the mind, what it takes in order to not just get someone to do your bidding or to do your will, but to keep that sustained with them for prolonged periods of time. That is not a mind that is really simple in its thinking. You know, it's a predatory mindset. It's one that you have to not just think what that person, your victim, is thinking. You have to know and understand how your victim thinks. You have to know and understand just basic psychology. You know, and even when we talk, you know, we cannot underemphasize that situation that took place in the garden. And it's been talked about, but the fact that Genesis 3 starts with, and the serpent was more subtle. See, we can't just look at it from just the plain old ordinary English terms of being subtle. Oh, he was just subtle. No, he was cunning. He was crafty. He was wily. He was tricky. It wasn't. You think about it. Think about it. Adam and Eve dwelled in the presence of their creator. They're the only human flesh that actually was in the presence of their creator, as well as the other animals in that garden, including the serpent. And for the serpent to be able to twist and turn and manipulate their minds to say, you know what? I bet that if I say, or if I do such and such, I can get them to turn away from the Creator. Because when you think about Job and the example of Job and what he actually said, he had to say to him, look, I know this man enough. I know Job enough that I can get him to curse you to your face. That's somebody who studies someone. That's somebody who doesn't just study them. They take notes. What's that again? You got an intimate relationship or an intimate knowledge of this person. Say, I know exactly what buttons to push with them. You know? You said what? Like anyone that's closest to you, right? You know, it's so funny because you think about the times maybe you said something or did something, and somebody who you may not even have that close a relationship with you said, I heard you say something or do something the other day. That's not you. I heard that. And they say, it kind of disturbed me to hear that come out your mouth, or it kind of disturbed me to see you did that, because you think about it. They don't even know you that well. But the fact that they know that there's a difference in you than other people, for them, you know, that was a little, I won't say traumatic in the sense of, oh, but it was like, wow. You know, it's like they have a certain expectation of you to be a little different, to act a little different, to represent a little different. So that means they're watching. You know, and when you think about, you know, when the word says that we are a spectacle, you know, we did the study on it before, and that to be that spectacle, you on stage. You know, that means you are, we don't want to get into the acting part of it, because we know that there's only one word in Yahweh's eyes for acting, and that is hypocrite, and being a hypocrite is being a liar. But we are on stage because we are supposed to be the representatives of truth, love, peace, and righteousness. We are supposed to represent everything that goes against the grain of this world. That's what we're supposed to represent, you know? So it's important that, you know, we understand what we're up against. You know, one of the things my brother always quotes is, we're not ignorant to his device. And it's important that we know and understand, in order for us not to be ignorant to his devices, that means we must know and understand his devices. We must know and understand our vices to understand his devices. And no one understands what it is about me, Brother Sean, Ahab El, that makes me click, whether it be for the good or whether it be for the bad. Because if I don't know and understand myself, that means I can't know. That means I am now allowing myself to be in a position where I could be manipulated by the adversary. You know, but knowing and understanding that it's just not my flesh that's fighting, but also that my spirit that's fighting. You know, my brother put out a text this week about, you know, someone said they were fighting the spirit, fighting the evil spirit, fighting a demon form. You know, I mean, we have to know and understand, you know, we don't just war against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness in high places, and that these things are all around us. And, you know, Trigan, you know, yeah. And just like in that movie, you know, the Matrix, how at any point there's the ability for those agents to possess anyone that's not in the quote-unquote know, you know? And even then, those are in the know. If you don't check where you are at, just like, what's his name? The one that sold him out, you know, Cypher, you know? If you're not careful, you know, and you don't count the cost and you make a decision, now and then you start to regret your decision, then you can be manipulated and used now to turn against your brother, you know? So... I ain't trying to ramble on, you know. Kelly and I was getting into a nice conversation, you know, about her listening to, you know, his teaching last night, and, you know, and just talking about psychology, you know. And it's so funny because when I was in school the first time, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a psychologist. I wanted to, you know, to work with, you know, work with people, you know. And you know, my godmother at the time, you know, she's gone now. At the time, I was like, no, you don't want to do that. You gotta go to school. You gotta get the bachelor's degree. You gotta get a master's degree. Then you gotta get your PhD before you can really make any money. And I've never been one of those people that was really manipulated by money. And I mean, yeah, you know, everybody likes money. I like money, but I was always one of those people that's easily satisfied. As long as I got what I want, I'm cool. I got a car with four wheels. It drives. I'm all right with that. I don't need a Mercedes. No. You know, even for my house, I'm all right with the simple thing. With my little gadgets, I'm good. You know, only thing I will say, I do like a nice kitchen, a nice bathroom. But beyond that, you know, I'm one of them real simple cats. I don't, you know, I drink my beer. That's simple beer. I ain't got to have a whole bunch of fancy. I just keep it simple. I'm going to do that. Just keep it real simple. You know, not try not to be too complicated and too complex when it comes to certain things. So. But when you think about, you know, when I think about what, you know, what she did and what I allowed her to do at that time, because she was like, you know, you want to go to school for this, you want to go to school for that, and it was all about the money. You know, but if I just followed my heart and what I wanted to do, I've been doing what I enjoyed doing, and which was learning about the mind, you know, learning about my mind, you know, learning about the mind. But, you know, everything happens based on what Yahweh, you know, wants for your life. Because as I progressed in life and started working down university, I realized I don't want to mess with none of these, some of these minds that's out here. You know, she ended up turning me into some Hannibal Lecter-like dude, you know. So everything happens for a reason. But reason why I'm talking about that, because even with relationships, see, we don't relate to people with anything other than our mind. That's how we relate to one another. If you and I engage in a dialogue, if you and I become friends, if you and I build a relationship with one another, sure, we may exchange some physicality of some sort, you know, whether we brothers and we playing basketball or video games or whatever. But at the end of the day, the way we really relate and connect with each other is through this. What's up, Rob? I want to have an open discussion too, just to put it out there. You're not interrupting. If you got a thought, bring it out.
Hallelujah. The right way, you all become psychiatrists once we get into the mind of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
There's no greater psychiatrist.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing that the human mind can go through that God don't
Hallelujah.
Another route.
Hallelujah.
The route Yahweh wanted you. He didn't want you to get that school.
Hallelujah. You know, go ahead. But it's so true when you think about it. When you look at the priests of Yahweh, they had expert content. Before they had Johns Hopkins School of Medicine or the Harvard School of Business or University of Baltimore certificate in forensic this or whatever, all the priests of Yahweh, that entire tribe, they was the ones who, they said, you got a rash? They ain't say, go see Dr. Ferguson and have him diagnose. They say, go to the priest, right? You got a white spot on your head, go to the priest. Wife got a flowing issue, go to the priest. You got a flowing issue, go to the priest. Have him check it out. Your building ain't right, go to the priest. You know, Yahweh put in his Torah. He said, you find a body, go get the priest. Hurry and go get the priest. You know, somebody is murdered, go get the priest. Right? Everything revolved around getting the priest. You got support. I watched my, one of my favorite shows, The Incredible Dr. Paul. I mean, he does some incredible stuff to save these animals, man. You know, and it's like, you might think, oh, it's just a dumb animal. But it's, even with the animal, you have a psychological relationship with it. You know, you build up, you build a friendship. It can't talk, you'll talk. It might yap, 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 and you might say, duh, 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 duh. But, I was, you know, even listening to, you know, y'all got LT, I think last week, he said, Coco mess up. Coco know when she mess up. Do you know what she did by my dog? My dog knew if I said, he was like, oh, snap, I done messed up now, you know? So it's like even they have a psychology and you have a relationship with them, you know, with your mind. But that's how we relate to each other at the end of the day. Sure, there may be conversations. Sure, there may be moments of interaction, whether it's like I said, playing video games, playing basketball, or just chit-chatting about what we like on Netflix, chit-chatting about what we saw in the movie. But when we're relating to each other, it's I'm sharing my mind with you, you're sharing my mind with me, we're sharing, and we have a collective mindset, you know, that we all share with one another, you know, a collective psychology. And even, you know, with the text that went out about the brother needs to see an optometrist, guess what? Among Yahweh's priests, each one sees everything a little bit differently. Makes me think about Star Trek. You had Spock, you had Sulu, you had Uhura, you had Captain Kirk, but each one of them had a particular role and each one of them had a particular mindset. Spock, straight up logic. Straight up logic. What is the logical situation to do? What is the logical thing to do here? What is the logical, you know? So you have to have that, and you have Captain Kirk flamboyant. You know, the man, you know, charisma and charm and all that type of stuff. Then you had, I believe it was it Sulu was the one that was always excited. The Russian one was like, oh, Captain, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You had that one that had it excited. And then you had the sister. You know, you only saw the back of her head 90% of the time. But at the end of the day, Captain Kirk said, we need to go to warp speed. What is the calculation? You know, and she had her role. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but all of this made the USS Enterprise fly through the galaxy. You know, so we all have a little bit, you know, that we contribute, and part of that contribution is the fact that we're all going to see things differently. We're all going to see things based on our mindset and our, to ramble on, because I want to have some open discussion too, you know, so if anybody has any thoughts that's on their mind, by all means, let's talk about it. But I wanted to talk, the last relationship I did want to talk about today is the prophet, the people, and their creator. You know, and I wanted to talk about one particular scenario, that took place with our brother, one of our forefathers, Moshe. And we're going to go to the book of Numbers. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 20. When I read this, I'm asking the brothers to please share with me what you see in this scenario. You know, and last week I was a little, I was still, you know, really overcoming my being sick, you know, earlier that week. But I did want to kind of have an open discussion about that last, what we talked about last week, you know, with Joseph and with everybody. So also, if any of those thoughts come to mind, please, by all means, share. But I really would like for this to end with a, you know, open discussion amongst the brothers. We're going to start in, let's go start at Numbers 20 and 1. And then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So what are we seeing going on so far? People thirsty. The people thirsty, right? And as a result of them being thirsty, they looking at Moses. They start, look, They thirsty, and they starting to get, hey, man, I'm thinking we ain't got no water out here, you know, blah, 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 blah. But before they go to Aaron and to Moses, they gather themselves together, right? So even though it might be like a simple, quick sentence or a verse right there, we got to understand that we're talking about them gathering themselves together. They ain't just say, you know, right, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, when you have a collective mindset now, you know, you getting all these people, man, thirsty, I'm thirsty. You thirsty, man? Yeah, I'm thirsty. Right. You thirsty, man? Yeah, I'm thirsty, too. You thirsty? Yeah, we all thirsty, right?
Right.
You got to think of it. I do it that way because these are black people. And I've been dealing with black people now all my life, but in particular in leadership for the last maybe 15 years. So I understand how these scenarios go down. I've been one, and I've been one of those people, and I've had to deal with those people, and I know how they do. Man, you in it? Yeah, let's go talk to them, right? Because that's what happens. Brothers getting together. Brothers upset. We thirsty. We going to go talk to Moses and Aaron, right? Okay. And the people chode with Moses. Now, let's look at that word chode. Okay? Because we got to understand what our people are doing here. These are people, you know. We're going to talk about our forefathers for the good. We got to talk about them with the bad. Now, what does it mean to, and look at the word. What does it mean to chode, right? The word is rub. Resh. It's got two spellings. I'm looking in the Strong's Concordance. It's Hebrews 7:3-7:8. And the word is rub or rub, right? Reeb or rub. It looks like rub in English. And it's a primitive root, properly to toss, mostly figuratively, to wrangle, that is, hold a controversy by implication, to defend, adversary, chide, complain, contend, debate, lay wait, plead, rebuke, strive thoroughly, right? Okay. So we see what's going on, right? So they gather themselves, and they are upset. They want to go back and forth with them, right? Okay. So the people chose with Moses and spake, saying, would Elohim that we had died when our brethren died before Yahweh. Think about that. Man, we should have died. Think about it. That's what they're saying. When they died, when Yahweh took them out, we wish he had taken us out too. 20:4. And why have you brought up the congregation of Yahweh into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So they're laying all these charges at their feet now. Yes, Aki. Leadership. We getting there, Aki. We gonna get there because that's the first thing they gathered themselves against. Now, since you mentioned that, who is Aaron? No. Who is Aaron? What'd you say? Who is you said it? The prophet. And who is Moses? Okay, so yes, Aaron is the high priest, and Moses is the prophet. But remember, Yahweh said, Aaron, all right, Moses, you said you don't want to do this. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make this deal with you, because I'm going to still use you. You don't want to talk? You want to get up in front of the people? But I know your other brother Aaron, he got the charisma. He won't get up in front of the people. He don't mind being on Front Street, because he like looking pretty. All right, you like to lay in the background. That's cool. I can still use you. I tell you what, you're going to be God. You're going to represent me, and Aaron is going to represent you. He's going to be the prophet, right? Okay, so now, yes, they're coming up against leadership, but then in all actuality, they're going up against Yahweh and the prophet. Yeah. Okay, Todah Aki, that's an open discussion. There's no wrong answer. Sometimes we just got to get a little bit more details on that. Okay, but that's who he is. All right. So let's go to 26, Numbers 26. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the Yahweh appeared unto them. So as leaders, the first thing, what are we supposed to do when the people come up against us, the people are doing things that they want to do? What's the first thing we're supposed to do? Seek Yahweh. Huh? Say, fall upon our face and seek Yahweh, and his glory will appear unto us, right? Okay, we're talking about relationships now, okay? Because that means even though the people's relationships may be out of order, the priest's relationship can never be out of order with Yahweh. He's always got to stay in his presence, always got to stay in his face, right? Okay, 20:7. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation, and there be strength. 20:9. And Moses took the rod from before Yahweh, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, we must fetch you water out of this rock. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. What happened right there? He didn't follow the instructions. Yahweh said to him, speak to the rock.
That's right.
Okay. Yahweh said,
He didn't show compassion to the people. You know, you think of you as a supervisor, you've been in that situation. You may want to write up one of your but you went to your director, and your director like, no, that's not good. Thing. Don't write him up. Show him leniency. Give him a verbal warning. But because if you caught feelings, you did anyway. And then you got caught by your subordinate, by your leader, and she had to chastise you because you got indignant with your subordinate when you shouldn't have used in leadership to always show compassion.
Are you at my job this week?
No, that happened.
Angry last Friday, so angry last Friday at one of my employees lying about a scenario. I didn't want to hear nothing he had to say, nothing. I told him, if you ain't going to tell me the truth, I said, anything beyond that is a lie, and I don't want to hear it. But, boss, Sean, let me tell you, I don't want to hear it. And y'all is my witness. His job. Over with. Done. Right? Went and talked to my vice president. You know, because my director, she's on vacation. I had to talk to my vice president. He was like, he said, to be fair to everybody, you can't always treat them fairly. And he was like, and I understood what he meant. You know, like, even one of my old mentors said there's equity and there's fairness. Equity means everybody gets the same thing. But now fair is relative to the circumstances, which means you have to look at the whole scenario and look at it from the individual as well as the circumstance. And is this the individual doing this, or is this the circumstance, right? And it's so funny because when I didn't find, gave him a final written warning. But he said to me, can I explain to you now what happened? And I said, sure. Broke it down, and I was like, yeah, stand that. And what he did, he falsified some information. He said he did it because he was afraid to get in trouble. But I said, bro, just tell the truth. If you had said at that time, but you wouldn't let me talk. And the sad part about it is, you know, his mother and I, we've been working together now for over 20-some-odd years. You know her. Y'all know her. You know his mother. And I remember when she was even pregnant with him. That's why I hired him. She asked me, my son, I said, all right, cool. Right? So I talked to her because, she's in a tricky situation. I'm in a tricky situation. She works for the HR director, the vice president, as well as we report up to the same person who was like, my vice president said, go talk to her. Then I'll tell her what happened, blah, blah, blah. She was like, well, you got to do what you got to do, blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to terminate him. I'm going to get him to file it. But when he finally explained it to me, I was like, if I had just listened, I would have, but I was angry at the time. I was so angry because I was personally involved in it. you know. So, you know, but I told the mother, I said, you know, I'm still do what I gotta do because what he did was wrong. Official document, unless he mess up again. But you know, but anyway, it's true. You know, and I experienced that personally. But the people can get you to a point where you in your feelings and you angry and you hot. And it's like, I could think about the whole scenario now. You fresh off of these people saying, you brought us out here into the wilderness and we ain't got no food. We ain't got no pomegranates. You know, you should have just let us die back there in Egypt. We could have died. You should have just left us alone. You brought us out here into this wilderness. For what? For what? You know, and even though Moses and Aaron said, well, we're going to seek Yahweh's face, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and you're praying and you're trying to concentrate and you're trying to do the right thing, but what's in your mind is, I can't believe these heroes, these heroes just talk to me like that. Do they understand who I am, that I am before the presence of their creator? Do they know all the things that I've done for them up to this point? And you say to yourself, you get up from there, and your intent is to be obedient. Your intent is to go over there and speak to the rock. But you're so hot, you're so angry, you're so frustrated that you go, in front of the people. But I'll fight how about what pushes our button, because Moses' buttons were pushed at that point. I mean, you figure, let's think, we're in numbers now, so we're talking 30-plus years he's going through the wilderness. Yahweh, don't do it. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Nah, Moses, I'm going to wipe them off the face of this earth, and I'm going to raise up a new people through you. No, don't do that. Think about what Egypt will say. Think about what the Philistines will say. Think about what the Amorites, the Girgashites, all these nations. Think about what they'll say, Yahweh. Moses, you're right. I won't kill them. Right? So now you think Moses is going through all this for 30-some-odd years. And you get to that point now, like, hold up. Y'all coming at me like this? Huh? We done got manna, quail. We done been through all this stuff. Y'all should know me better. You know what I'm about. I don't even come at y'all like that. That's how y'all going to do me? Yahweh says, calm down, son. Right. Just speak to the rock. But you're still hot. You're still angry. You still got that beast on your back. Just come out to that rock and you strike it twice. She always, as a leader, got to be present. Got to be aware. Got to know what's clicking with you. So back to 2010. Man.
Yeah,
hallelujah. A mediator?
Right. You want to get help, but you got other priests to help counsel you and help you be enough.
Hallelujah.
Because if you go back to y'all just say, your people, Moses would get mad. No, your people would be like a husband and wife.
That's right. A relationship. That's right.
That's
how you feel. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Because when you think about it, that's the type of relationship that Moses and Yahweh had.
Amen.
They had an intimate relationship. They had a partnership. That's what they had. Friends walking together these 30 years. So Yahweh knows Moses, and Moses knows Yahweh. And Aaron, too. So you think about what's going on between them at this point. What's going on between them, the people, and God? You know? And it's like you think about it. Think about the frustration that you've been holding on to. Because he said, the word says he was most humble in his house. But just because you're humble don't mean you don't get frustrated. Just because you're humble don't mean you don't get angry. Just because you're not that, the normal leader. Because Moses was not the rah-rah type. Moses wasn't the type, rah-rah. Think about the situation between him and Miriam and Aaron. Think about how Miriam rolled up on him. Hold up. Who you think you is?
Right.
You think Yahweh only speak to you? Hold up. Now, he speak to me and Aaron. Hold up. Remember this now. I was the one that put you in the basket that sent you down the river to Egypt. Don't forget, I'm your big sister. You're a little Moshe to me. So it was Miriam, Aaron, then Moshe, right? So they both ganging up on him because Yahweh speaks to us too. Hold up, brother. Don't just get think. He said, you God. He said, I'm the prophet. So I'm in your role. So don't think if I'm a prophet, that means he speaks to me too, don't he, bro? Okay then. Huh? But Yahweh had to come and say, whoa, what's going on here between the three of y'all? Hold up. Hold on now. I may speak in dreams and in similitude to the rest of y'all, but to Moses, I speak to him directly. So don't get it twisted, big sister, big brother. Don't get out of order here. Tell him, look, if a father even spit in his daughter's face, she's unclean for 7 days. Leprosy on you. You better not step out your role just because you think you older, wiser, deeper. Nah, you still got to stay in a certain place. You better keep that relationship in check. And don't forget who you're speaking to or what you're speaking about. And don't think, take somebody's humility and soft-spokenness for weakness. I got to tell my staff all the time. Man, I got this mousy voice. I ain't got no big booming voice. No, but when it's time to roar, I'm a roar. And you're going to fear that roar. You know I don't play. See, when you get me there, and that's what happened with me with that dude last week, you got me there. And once I'm there, I'm there. Sure, I'll calm that down. You know, dang it, Yahweh. See, y'all, don't think for 1 second now that's because I don't bring the punishment right there. Don't think because I whoop your hiney right there. But see, the thing about it is, the longer it takes for that hiney whooping to come, when it comes, there's a saying I learned when I was down here in Baltimore. You won't get it for old and new. That's Baltimore talk, right? I ain't hear that one growing up. I got that when I was in my 20s down here. You won't get it for old and new. So be careful. Because just because Yahweh speak to you, don't mean that it makes you more special, that it makes you any better than who his anointing is. Don't get that part twisted. Huh? Say it again. You're not equal. Because Miriam and Aaron thought they were equal until Yahweh intervened and had to put her outside the camp. Don't get it twisted. And we're learning slowly but surely every day being different. My sister passing suddenly last week was a big eye-opener for me. That stayed with me all week. We were next door neighbors. And for her to pass in her 50s, I had this lady talk to me this week about retirement. And I had to say to myself, in my mind, retirement? I ain't guaranteed to walk out this door and live. If you want to talk to me about retirement, and I realize why us, we don't be pressed about retirement. I was like, well, you know, yeah, you can plan, you can do all of this, but guess what? At the end of the day, we selfish. We ain't trying to leave a whole lot behind for everybody. You know? Like, oh, man. You know, yeah, thank you for the pep talk about retirement, but if I ain't guaranteed to live that long, guess what? And if I do live that long, hopefully y'all, we got it. But back to this. You know, you got to be mindful of power being twisted and manipulated and all this. And even though now, you know, Moses done went through that with Miriam and Aaron, now he's in the same situation with his creator. 2010. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? We ain't going to skip from that statement for me, because guess what? He was told to speak to the rock. And Yahweh was going to then put water from the rock. But look at listen to what Moses said. Must we fetch you water out? He do right there. He personalized it. First of all, Moses, you ain't providing nothing. You don't get that twisted neither. Look, you done parted the sea. You done did a whole lot. While your hands was up, Israel was winning the battle. As they went there, you know, you got to think about how Moses was thinking too. You know, he's thinking, I'm Moses. I'm Moshe. You know, you think about it. You say that right, sound real smooth. Moshe. It's smooth. Moshe. You know, you think about where he came from. You know, he was up there. He was a prince in Egypt. Hmm? I come to Moshe. Come, Moshe. Hey, Moshe. How you doing? You know, he was the man. You know? And then even with Yahweh, Yahweh made him the man. Hmm? So he got into himself. Huh? It's a whole lot. The people upsetting him. And he's thinking, nah, 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 nah. Me, I'm got to do this. I'm going to fetch you. No, brother. You lost it right there. The 2011. And Moses lifted up his hands and with his rod, he smote the rock twice and water came out abundantly. But Yahweh still, think about it, the water still came out. Even though Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do, Yahweh still allowed the water to come out that rock. The congregation drank and their beasts also. 2012. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not, try me in the eyes of the children. Think about what Yahweh is feeling right now. We'll start reading it again. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, because ye believed me not to sanctify me, to make me holy, to set me apart in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Huh? 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 20 and 13. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them. So let's talk about that a little bit. Because why the rock? What does the rock represent? How do we know that? All right, we're going to do this. We're going to look at some scriptures that it talks about. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22:47. My brother. We're going to take a walk back to another scripture. Right, so Samuel recognizes, he said, Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the Elohim of the rock of my salvation. Right? So, you know, we know that we realize now that Samuel the prophet recognized that the rock and salvation are associated with one another. But before that, let's go back to the Torah. In Deuteronomy 32:15, it says, he said, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Okay? So now when we go back to this scenario, and we start to look at this scenario that had taken place, what is the spiritual implication behind this whole scenario? With Yahweh saying, speak to the rock, to Moshe, and then Moshe striking the rock. What do y'all see there? Because if the rock is salvation, right? And Yahweh says to Moshe, speak to it. But then Moshe, because of the frustration of the people, not just once, not but twice, what is happening there? Because at that point, that's what the people were crying out for. They were crying out for relief from this situation. We ain't got no pomegranates, we ain't got no this, we ain't got no this, we ain't got no that, and we ain't even got no water. At least if we have water, you know, at least our thirst could be satisfied. Well, you think about it. Where a lot of things are going now amongst this movement, among the Hebrew community. You know, and a lot of them wanting to just hold on to Moshe, 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 like Torah. But hold up. But if that rock is salvation, and y'all don't believe in that salvation, what are y'all doing? Y'all striking against that rock. Y'all striking against that rock. That means y'all are being an adversary to that rock. But you know what? Salvation is still going to come out through Moshe. Why? Because he said in his Torah, from a child, Paul said to Timothy, from a child you knew that the Holy Scriptures were able to make you wise unto salvation. So there's still going to be something that comes out of the teachings of Moshe. But Yahweh wants it to be a specific way. And oftentimes what's happening is you have these people that are out there that are fighting against the rock of their salvation. How could I say that? Well, let's think about the scenario from last week with the sons of Israel and Joseph and what happened with them. They wanted to kill him, but he was put in that place to save them. Even when you think about what the father had done, what Jacob did. Jacob said, hey, go out there and find out what your brothers are doing. Go look for them. Go look for them. Find your brothers. So you going out? But hold up. How you get that? Hold up. That's New Testament, brother. That's word. But you mean to tell me that there's a scenario with a spiritual significance that says I sent his little son Joseph out there to search for his big brothers to find out what they were doing because he was curious about what was going on with them? And then when they encountered him, the first thought that came to mind was, kill him! But wait a minute, we don't see that now? And I'm sorry if this hurts anybody's feelings, but this is a scenario that's true. Because Joseph said, look, this was the word. I was put in this scenario because Yahweh wanted to save y'all.
Right.
So when y'all thought to do me harm, you actually did good to me. And then we have another scenario later on where the rock, which is associated with salvation, is the words of the prophet, that Moses struck that rock. That means he was an adversary to that rock. You don't strike something because you love it. Not only did he hit it once, but he hit it twice. Could it be that there's two times, two ages in which people are going to fight against the rock of their salvation? Because guess what? They struck the rock of their salvation 2,000 years ago. They did harm to him. When he told them, hold up. They sit in Moses' seat. Whatever they tell you to do, do. So the rock didn't fight against them. And then he said to Kepha, upon this rock, I'm going to establish my congregation.
That's right.
With you, Kepha.
Right.
So you mean that first age, that first age was the first right?
Look.
So now you fast forward now. We got all these wise Hebrews.
Look.
We got all these people that are coming up. And that spirit didn't stop going out back then. Yosef, the ones that were added. So you got to look at Yosef, too, as the new congregation of people. I believe they're going out. And that spirit is going back out there to seek their brothers. But now as you seek, brothers, you find these brothers that, I don't want to hear the New Testament, but I want to hear Apocrypha. Wait, hold up. The same scrutiny that you put the New Testament under, them Apocrypha books, guess what? Catholic Church had them too. The powers that be had them too. And you don't think the Zohar is tainted? You don't think those mystical books are tainted? Hold up, brother, it's in English. If you can read it in English, it's tainted. Unless you got the actual ancient Hebrew manuscripts that they was written in, speak Swahili. I don't care if you speak French. I don't care if you speak English. If you ain't reading it from the original text, it's tainted.
Right.
And don't think the translators are going to translate it so that you get the correct information, as Yaquiel brought out last night. He wasn't called Jesus 2,000 years ago. But try telling some Hebrews that his name wasn't Jesus. They're ready to strike you. They want to separate themselves from you because you're sharing a truth with them. And that's not even a spiritual truth. That's just a basic historical fact. There was no J in the English language before the 1400s. That's a historical fact. We ain't even got to talk about spirituality. We just need to talk about history. So if you can get Pontius Pilate name right, if you get Julius Caesar's name right, if you get Antiochus Epiphanes' name right, if you get all these names right historically, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, hold up. Why can't you get his name right historically? But they'd be quick to stone you. They won't pick that rock up, Hebrews, to use the name that the Savior was given. So think about all this madness that is going on amongst us right now. What is going on with the relationship between the prophet, the people, and God? Say it again. Being tainted, polluted. Because if the world back then, and I'm going to use the very lofty and educated term that my rabbi used, antediluvian. And think about it. The antediluvians only had, what, about 1,000 years? About 1,002, give or take. And we got about 2 or 3 on them. And back then, it said the world was filled with violence and corruption. And now we got 2 more thousand years on top of that. It's about what? We're in about 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years since the flood, possibly, give or take, like you said. And they only had 2 to corrupt themselves. Think about where we're going. Think about where we're going. So on the heels of every great black movement comes these other movements. Because, see, before there was this whole coming out and freedom and gay pride, you had to free the black people first. You had to soften the minds of the people by saying, you know what, if they can accept black people being free, they can accept just about everybody. If they can give black people rights, guess what? We're going to get everybody right. Because at the end of the day, the psychology is they belong to the law. Three-fifths of a human. You see, because racism isn't just something unique to the United States. This is where we do shit a commonality. You black, they gonna hate you. Sorry if this offends anybody that listens to it, but the truth of the matter is you're raised to hate black people of every kind. When I was growing up, from a positive standpoint, we weren't. Matter of fact, I ain't learned nothing about black. I did have an aunt, my aunt Joyce, God bless, always tried to put consciousness in that side. Now that I think about it in hindsight, she was a Hebrew. Because she got married, I didn't know that back then. As a young boy, she got married at the Bereshit Center. But she was the most conscious woman I knew, and know to this day. My aunt Joy, an adopted aunt, but she always was pro black. I hope she goes see this movie Black Panther. But on the heels of every great black movie or every great black event, slowly but surely now, it opens the doors for them to do other things. Because guess what's the next movie they're going to do? An all-female superhero cast, which I ain't got no problem with that. Not a bad. You got plenty of black superheroes. You got Spider-Woman. You got Mrs. Marvel. You got Binary. I love my superheroines. Love them. You know, but the hashtag was Black Lives Matter. Now the hashtag is time's up. You know what I mean? So it's like you send in the first wave, and then shortly thereafter, now you send in the second wave. God, use us to break down the barriers.
Come on.
Won't you use us to break down the barriers, man? You can open the floodgates for other things. We always use the pawn. They know who we are. And they know we got favor. Even in our fallen state, because when you think about Jacob and you think about Israel, Jacob and Israel are the same people, but two different entities within that one person. And Jacob is that person who can wrestle with an angel. Think about what that takes to wrestle with an angel. Can't be no soft man. You got to be a buck plus a stud. Right? You got to be a straight Brahma bull to wrestle with an unseen being. And that unseen being say, oh, come on, we got to stop this now. Huh? They said they was kicking up dust. The angel ain't had to do that. Because when the angel was ready, he said, oh, man, hold on, this is going on too far. Waka! Touched his hip. The glue! He still ain't let go. Now you going to bless him. No. That's strength. But now Israel is the one who left. At the gift he walked. Sometimes Yahweh, in order to use you the way he wants to use you, got to zap your power. Zap your power. Because a man without his hips is what? And no motion. Everything, they tell you in sports, everything comes from right here. Your hind parts, this right here. The core. Jumper, you got to get your legs right. Right? Got to get this right. You're a blocker, got to get this right. You're a running back, you got to get this right. You want to scoop that ball up off the ground, third base, and you got to whoop. That has to be involved. The power don't come, the best quarterback, the power don't come from the arm. The power comes from the torque that you generate in your hips and your legs. Martial law, right? So he had to whoop. You ain't going to wrestle like that no more. Not in the flesh. Now you got to wrestle in the spirit. So when you start talking about these relationships, here's another one. The relationship that Jacob had with that angel. Relationships. Man between the prophet, the people, and their creator. So now you see where now Moses got up into himself, looked at that rock, struck that rock twice, and it cost. It cost. Several things you need to take away from this. One, as leaders, it is important that we are always, as one of my mentors said, self-aware. Always knowing where you are mentally, where you are emotionally, and where you are spiritually. Because at any point, you get taken off of your foundation. Can't allow the people to get you so riled up. That you sever that relationship between you and the Creator. Because at the end of the day, that's what Moses did. He caused a breach between the relationship between him and Yahweh. And that's what Yahweh was upset about. He said, hold up. You were supposed to honor me in front of the people. You dishonored me. You're supposed to lift me up and sanctify me in front of the people. In all actuality, you profaned me in front of them. Think about it. The people looking at Moses as God then, and they see Moses come out there and do that. They're thinking, because they don't know what Yahweh told them. The people don't know that. That conversation was held between Moses and Aaron and Yahweh. Right or wrong? So now when he came back out, because the people knew he went in, he said he went in before the congregation to speak to Yahweh, for the tabernacle of the congregation to speak to Yahweh. So the people watched him go in and speak to Yahweh. And he was supposed to come out and represent Yahweh a specific way and speak to the rock. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yahweh's face and ask Yahweh to intervene. Yahweh answer. You know? Amen. You know, because at the end of the day, it's His word, it's His truth, it's His work. And we are just the vessels. You know, we have just been called out to be His tool. You know? I keep that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when you think about, you know, the fact that Yahweh is going to take care of His people, regardless of what His servants do, while the water still comes forth from the rock, because Yahweh is going to answer the prayers of the people. But here's, you know, like here's the rub. Here is the dilemma for anybody who stands on behalf of the people for Yahweh. Did the people get punished? No. They didn't get punished. Actually, they got what they want. The bunch of brats got exactly what they want. But because Moses lost it, he got punished. He got punished. Because that punishment could have fell on the children of Israel. It could have, because of what they said. They was wrong for what they said. They was wrong. Why you ain't kill us, Yahweh? What? Think about what kind of mind says, I'd rather die. Angry one, just because you're a little thirsty. Also, you didn't get the food you wanted. You know, you ain't get no figs, you ain't get no pomegranates. Y'all, we should have just killed us back there. The mindset of our ancestors. That's a warped way of thinking when you think about it. We don't come from good people. We really don't. You know, all these Hebrew Israelites out there want to, Israel this, Israel that. We don't come from good people. We come from people who taught the world how to sin. We come from people who taught the world idolatry of the worst kind because we had the truth. Yahweh spoke to us personally. There's a personal relationship with Israel. So anytime Israel goes astray, it's worse than the heathens when they do it. Because the heathens are expected to do that. Yahweh portioned them God to them. Because that's what they answer. That's the word. Those they God. Dagon, Molech. So let them do what they're going to do. But you don't get involved with that because I am a different God. I'm the only one. I'm different. I don't require that. So when you see them out there, you know, let's bring our child up and burn them in the pit. Israel, don't you dare do something like that and make the world think that that's what I want, because that's not what I want. All I want is hallelujahs from you and obedience. That's it. The 14th, after the month of Abib comes in, yeah, I want you to go through these. I want you, you know, the seventh month on the first day, I want you to do this and all that. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. So don't go out there and misrepresent me by saying now, Rosh Hashanah is the new year. That there should be an egg on the Seder plate. And make Hanukkah into the Jewish Christmas. And make Purim into the Jewish Halloween. But that's a prime example of the stuff our forefathers, our ancestors did. Don't give them this Judaismos. Don't give them that. I mean, as a matter of fact, hold up. We can eat now. Here come the disciples. Man, we hungry, man. Leave this cold because we black people won't be hungry. We want that chicken box. We ain't sitting by talking about no prayer. Come on, y'all. He been talking to us all day. I'm hungry. We're going to eat these food. And the dignified old Jews are sitting over there like, those barbarians. Yeshua. Yeshua. Your disciples over there eating with unwashed hands. They ain't following the ritual. Hold up. Hold up. Well, y'all see them acting like how we do. But y'all are making vain the word of Yahweh by your traditions. Where does Yahweh say in his word to do this? Metalat yada'im. Where does he talk about lifting up of the hands? Show me that passage in the Torah. Well, the Talmud says. No. That's not the word. So think about it. Y'all got all these codexes, but it ain't what goes into the body that makes them unclean. I'm sure if they didn't wash their hands, they might get the bubble gut. So what? But it's what comes out of the body that makes it unclean. So what are y'all spewing out to the people when y'all talking? Because if y'all telling them, do this ritual, but y'all on the other hand saying, don't follow the word of Yahweh, who's unclean? Who's teaching is right? Who's teaching is wrong? So, any thoughts? Any questions?
When you were talking about the cycle of Sprat twice and what Brother Ariola said, if that points to the rock being Midas and Cyrus, the spirit is still going to bring forth that water, the spice of my so that he continues to
say,
amen. Israel, they put him to death.
Amen.
Still go forth that spirit.
Hallelujah.
And even today, they continue to point that same line.
He's
still going to bring forth for the sake of it.
Amen.
And that's what I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
You know, in spite of what you said, I'm still going to come out.
So we see. At the end of the scenario with Joseph, right?
Yep.
What happened? All the brothers are gathered at the table.
Amen.
And they're all sitting together. Once Joseph reveals who he really is to them. I'm Joseph!
That's right.
Joseph. All the time we've been coming down and bow down before you. And being obeisance to you.
Amen.
The one that we thought we had killed. The one that we thought we had sent away forever. The one that we had thought we had removed from our father's presence and from everybody's presence, from the world's presence. Huh? You know, we've been preserved all of the time, and we're going to sit at the table and eat with you.
Amen.
Oh, no, it is. It ain't for everybody. Daniel, right? Amen.
They're going to know, like you said. You're going to know because I'm going to
Amen.
But the world, they ain't going to see. They're not going to know. You know, so realize that you got some of our people who may not be young. It's also say, you don't see who the man is.
I meant for them to see. Was not meant for them to hear. Because remember, what part of the scenario was Joseph had to talk to them through an interpreter. Hold up. They all Israelites. But Joseph understood what they were saying. But they didn't understand what Joseph was saying. So Joseph was bilingual. Well, that's it. Relationships. We'll continue. All right. Okay. Are you Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous? Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Oh, man.